We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
But right now, we get to get into one of our favorite conversations of the entire week. Alex Dickerson of the San Francisco Giants, good enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Kolsky this afternoon, this week. He's on paternity leave. Alex Dickerson, good to have you back, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just got back in. Kind of enjoying an off day.
Yeah, what are you going to do this off day? You do have a gorgeous day in San Francisco all to yourself. What's up?
Really just eating breakfast, enjoying some time with the family. That's about all you can do on these days.
There you go. What was for breakfast? Was it healthy, or did you go fat boy breakfast on us this afternoon?
Oh, Dev, I got a Belgian waffle at a diner that was just covered in whipped.
Nice. Very nice. It's a strong play.
Covered.
Yeah. It's important to note that he did not mention these next 10 minutes as part of the fun day he's having.
That's okay, though. But he had that Belgian waffle, so it was a great start to the day. There's very little we can do to actually ruin it, I would hope. What a wild three-game series in Colorado, man. I bet it's a lot easier to like a seven-inning doubleheader game that you win than a seven-inning doubleheader game that you lose in the seventh inning.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, that's whether it's seven or nine innings, that's Colorado in a nutshell. No game is ever over there. It always ends up getting close at the end. And, you know, we ended up on the bad side of it, which is going to happen. But, you know, we're going to learn from that and bounce back.
I know that because you're in the middle of it every day, you don't sit there and take a daily temperature of sort of your team's place in the universe. But how much different is this team now after 32 games than it was, say, after 16? Do you get sort of a different vibe about strengths and weaknesses and things you can rely on and things that need improvement? Or do you even bother with that stuff?
You don't really bother with it. You're always trying to improve. Strengths and weaknesses are more, they're kind of relative. It's what people are saying, but it's not like we know that we're a team that's going to definitely hit better than we have to this point. And I think you're seeing flashes of it and it's starting to come around. And then we, for a fact, we have good pitching and defense now. And that's something that we're going to really kind of lean on through the times where our offense isn't going. And then, you know, as they kind of get fatigued throughout the year, we're going to hopefully pick them up on the other side of that. So it's really like kind of a daily, you do your, like, it's cliche, but you just try to do your best every day and improve on, you know, what you don't think you've been doing well.
There are little just signs of, hey, I know it's early, you know, saying first place San Francisco Giants is an awful lot of fun, but there's quite a bit of baseball in front of us. So what are the reasons to really be excited here?
And I think the reason to be excited, in my point of view, is that we know we haven't played our best baseball yet, and we are in probably, arguably, the toughest division in baseball, and we are right there.
Yeah.
We know there's still room to grow, and I think that's really the exciting part of this, where we're at right now. Because you think about it, last year, I mean, it's a 60-game season, 30 games in, we were much worse than this, knowing that there was room to improve, and we almost got all the way back. This time around, we know we still haven't played our best baseball, but we've been in every single game, and we know we've got a shot to win all of them, and we haven't even really started hitting our stride with the offense yet. So I think that's kind of the exciting part for us, and knowing that it's 162 games with room for us to grow.
There have been stories and discussions over the last couple of weeks, sort of outside the clubhouse, about this being a particularly bad year offensively across baseball. Is that ever a conversation in the clubhouse? The notion that, you know, there are fewer hits, fewer runs, more strikeouts than there have been at any point since 1968. Does that ever come up? Do you guys ever just sort of chew the fat about that? Have you noticed that offense is worse?
You have the discussion about how good pitching has gotten over the years, and it just seems that every time you think it can't get better, it seems like there's always some prospect shoots through, is sitting 98 with a disgusting slider. And I think all around we're starting to see kind of, and I think it's also showing up with injuries as well. We're seeing that the pitching body is starting to get maxed out, and you're seeing just insane velocity every day. And if your swing isn't in the right place, it's not like it used to be where, hey, you still manufacture a hit here or there. Like, if you're not in the right spot, you're probably going 0-for, and you got to try to find a way to be productive in other ways. And so I think that's kind of where we're at. And to be honest, like, we're still too early. 1 month in is not, that's not enough for me to say, like, oh man, offense is done. I mean, it could be a league-wide slump to come out of this. It's kind of the way it is. We're getting used to traveling longer distances again, something we didn't do last year. And I think part of that might be wearing on some guys. And I don't know. I think it's too early for me to tell. I think the main discussion is velocity, just flat out, it's high. They're throwing hard now, every single guy. We're laughing at, used to be 90, 92 was, you know, pretty good stuff for a fastball. Now a lot of guys are throwing sliders at that speed. So that's just the reality of it. You got less time to react.
If 30 games is too few, when do you start feeling like, okay, this season has gone on long enough that I can make some assumptions about where the game is?
I generally say it's right around 65-70. And that's where you start to, like, make that evaluation of, okay, we're approaching halfway. Generally, you will see a lot of the guys that were hot the first month will go ice cold in the second one. Sometimes it takes till the third one, but it's going to happen. Same with the guys that are ice cold, that have a track record. They're generally going to get hot in May or June. It's at that point, you've now seen that turnover, and you start to see a little bit more balance. So, I would say around that 70, 75 mark, like kind of in between there is where you start to go, okay, here's probably where we're at and where it's going to head.
Alex Dickerson here on 95.7 The Game. So, again, the Giants have a number that I think is significant. That just, it's one that I lean into, and I'm wondering if there's a number or a stat that you can find in the standings that you lean on is more significant than others. Obviously, wins and losses count more than anything else. I'm a big run differential guy. And this is why the Giants have become the most interesting story in the first month of baseball, because you guys have the second-best run differential in the National League. All this pitching, and like you said, a lineup that hasn't even really come all the way around yet, but you still got the fifth most home runs, sixth most RBIs in the NL, third most walks. You guys are turning it and burning it up and down that lineup enough to where that run differential, like, that's a big number. Is that a big number to you?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, really, when you try to zoom out with analytics and you try to take the whole year, run differential is probably going to, it's probably going to tell you a pretty good story of how many games you're in. Now, there can be outliers in there. You can blow a team out by 25 or get blown out by 25. And that, in reality, that's one game. But I think over time, and, you know, as you zoom out and look at just being in every game, it's a big deal. Like, almost, I can't even really come off the top of my head where any ninth inning where it felt like, hey, we don't even have a shot here. Like, almost every single one of them, it's been like, hey, we're one or two hits away from being all the way back in this thing. So I think that's something that the Dodgers have done over the past 5 or 6 years. They never really seem to be out of games. We're doing that very well right now. And I think the NL West, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a fight all year. And, you know, I really, like, I keep saying it over and over, but we know the offense has room to grow, and we know we're going to get there. So I think that's where our confidence kind of lies.
Yaz coming back, Cueto coming back, La Stella eventually going to return, more options, more, just more Giants coming soon, that's for sure. What's amazing is the Dodgers got off to such a great start, 13-2, and have lost 13 of 17 since. Obviously, the Padres got all this pitching and all this hitting, but putting it both together in the same game is something that's eluded them a little bit. And now here you are with the Padres, three games coming up. And then you got an eight-game road trip after, you know, you got the Rangers coming to town. Then you go Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and these are basement dwellers. I know you got respect for everybody on your schedule, but how much do you start looking ahead? I one game at a time is a wonderful cliche, but do you look ahead and start thinking, man, if we could put a good 2 weeks together right here, we're buying ourselves a little bit of a cushion.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it is baseball, and I'm sure the Dodgers can correct me on this as well. Like, you can be as hot as you want, and then this game will always humble you. You don't look at any major league team as cupcake teams anymore. Like, at their worst, they still have three or four guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark and about five to seven guys that throw high 90s, which if they're in the zone and locating, any day can be tough. So there's no – even when you're looking at bottom-dwelling teams, you really can't take it for granted going, oh, we got four in Pittsburgh. That's got to be four wins right there. You got to still go up. You got to show up, and you got to win them. So it's – it really, like, it is cliche and it is boring as hell to say, but it is day by day.
It's true.
That's the only way that we can perform.
I know you didn't get a chance last year because of quarantine, COVID, and everything, but have you had many dealings with Willie Mays from 2019? Did he get to come around the locker room?
Yeah, he was around quite a bit. I got to talk to him at length a couple times. And then I did get to feel that legendary handshake at that time he was 88 years old, he still felt like he could just break your hand in half. And it's just incredible. And it's awesome how much passion he has for the game and being the legend that he is. He's just so humble. He comes in and just likes talking baseball. And it's, I'm hoping that if we get him back into the clubhouse sometime soon, COVID's obviously kept away. I know that's probably killing him. So. It'd be great to see him back in there. I think he just turned 90 today, right?
It is. Yeah. It's his 90th birthday. Is there a member of your family that would be most interested in meeting Willie Mays, which is probably, again, if we get back to normal, you could probably arrange that. Who in your family would be most excited about meeting Willie Mays?
Yeah, I'm sure my dad would. He probably got to see a few of his games back in the day. And, there's very few legends that are as good as him, where he did kind of everything. So, yeah, I mean, several people in my family probably enjoy meeting him.
It's pretty cool.
When the first time you talked to him, how long did it take you to transition from, holy crap, I'm talking to Willie Mays, to, man, I'm going to pick his brain for a while?
I don't know. It came pretty quick. Murph, our clubhouse guy who's been there forever, he's the one that's like, hey, come meet somebody. And I walked in there, actually, to make it even crazier, I walked in there and this is my first time meeting Willie Mays, and right next to him was Barry Bonds. So I had two legends in one room at the same time, and got to talk a little bit of baseball, not a crazy amount, but I mean, anytime you're around those guys, you just try to absorb anything they're talking about. It could be about eating breakfast for all you care. You just want to know how they do it.
So you're going to blame one of them for the Belgian waffle thing you do?
yeah, sure. I'll throw it on. No, we didn't get to that. Maybe next time.
So we have to play a little weekly version of Know Your Own Numbers and Stats. As you've been told, as we've discussed, you're a monster at Coors Field. You got a .420 career batting average at Coors Field. Second best stadium, though, of your career, Alex Dickerson, what stadium do you hit the hottest in?
Arizona. That'd have to be.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. If you're going off one sample size, I'd say Toronto.
There it is. Rogers Center in Toronto. Was it 13 at-bats? So, yes, it's officially a small sample size. But a 462 hitter with three home runs at Rogers Center, you need to get on your agent. You say, look, I love being a Giant, but you can get me to Coors Field or you get me to Rogers Center, and then I get to go to Cooperstown.
Yeah, one of those is in the fifth deck, too. So actually, funny story about that. Mark McGwire was my bench coach at the time, and I hit the ball in the ninth inning, hit it into the fifth deck. One of those where you hit it and the crowd kind of goes silent, and then when it hits, you just hear a ooh. And I came in, and Mark McGwire is the first guy I see, and I go, yeah, have you seen anybody do that? He's like, you just joined a very elite club. I was actually the first one to do it. And they found out we did it on the exact same day, 20 years apart.
Not bad. So who's been a fifth tanker at Old Sky Dome? You, Canseco obviously put one up there. McGwire one up there.
McGwire,
who else is on the list?
Sean Green. I think out of lefties, I was the third to do it. I think Sean Green was the first. I know Juan Encarnacion has done it.
Did Cecil ever put one up there?
In recent.
Prince Oop. Fielder or Cecil Fielder ever put one up there, I wonder?
No. I don't believe they're on the list. Cecil Fielder's always, as far as tape measure shots, he shows up.
Yeah, his name.
Two stadiums.
Yeah.
Which has always been like my one dream that I still haven't quite done. I've gotten close. But I need to get one that literally goes out of the paying fans, and somebody that's not paying to be there gets a ball.
Or where you hit one off the face of the hotel.
Yeah, that would be great. It's kind of, it is like the one thing that I still, that nobody really gets to see, but every ballpark I go to, my one goal is to see how far I can get it into the one of the decks. And like that's my batting practice. That's like my one fun thing I do every day is my last two rounds. I just try to see what places I can try to reach that day.
I mean, I remember
pretty good ones in batting practice.
I just remember trying to get it out of the infield, and I felt good about that when I could do that. Yeah, you're picking out sections of the stadium to hit it to. That's a nice little swing you got there, no doubt about it. Alex Dickerson here on 95.7 The Game. You brought it up. I know we've officially gone long here, but you brought it up, so I got to ask you, Mark McGwire. Give me a Mark McGwire story. Did you get to pick his brain about him and Sosa going back and forth? Is that something that maybe he doesn't like talking about because it didn't exactly end gloriously? How is Mark McGwire at peace at who he is?
Mark, he is so humble. He really doesn't get on those. Every once in a while, he says something that we're like, he's super humble, but like you forget how, or you don't really forget, you know how good he is. And he talked about how he used to play pepper with the batter's eye when he was working on stuff. And you're thinking about like the batter's eye is 415 feet away, super high. Most people try to play pepper with the, with the net that they're pitching behind. He's just kind of flipping it out there. But with Mac, I think the Toronto story is probably my best one with him. But the one thing he talked about with his eyes and how he worked on, he could see pitching windows and physically see guys' hands and what position they were coming through. So he knew what a curveball was coming before it even actually physically left the hand. And I tried to do it that day off of Hendricks. And to my surprise, I actually did see the hand on the changeup, but then I never tracked the ball. I just saw the hand keep going.
Right. You're looking at the guy's hand, not the ball.
Him and Bonds, like they were just so elite. They do some things that were just crazy that I don't think you could teach.
What are you looking at? Fingertips, thumbs? What are you looking for on the hand?
Yeah, fingers, thumbs. You're looking for the position it's in. Kind of hard to explain over the radio, but like, yeah, you'll literally see like a C. Look for a curveball, you'll see a reverse C on a changeup, and then for four seam, you just generally see the ball. And he was just elite and could pick that up and track the ball at the same time. For me, it's one or the other, so I tend to just keep my eyes soft focused and look for spin about 10 feet out of the hand.
Well, I tell you, I hope you get to pick up all the spin the Padres throw at you over the next three. Then the Rangers come to town. Then you're out on the road. We really appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your off day and have yourself a really good homestand. Thank you so much, Alex Dickerson. It's a pleasure, man.
Will do. Thanks for having me.